you got all these super brainy people, right, with all these alphabets after their name, right, and none of them can agree on what the size of the image is that's in the film. And every one of them has some sort of way of determining the size of the creature as it walks across the frame of the Patterson footage, right, but they vary significantly by some cases like 6 inches from one expert opinion to another expert, right, opinion. And it's not just height but also weight and, you know, the sort of the width of the chest.
Right.
It kind of goes to show that maybe there is not a hard scientific way of judging whether or not that is accurate, if there could be so many smart people that see it so differently.
Well, there's two issues here. I mean, one is does the analysis of the kinematics, of the movements and the gait of the individual, is that dependent on a very precise and accurate estimate of the size and mass? And the answer to that is yes and no. I mean, yes, to the degree that you want to judge aspects like pendulum moments of the extremities, you know, how much inertia is there, are there adaptations of the anatomy that one would expect for a certain weight range or mass as opposed to another. And then on the other hand, there are limitations to the ability to accurately reconstruct the size, and those limitations and the resulting variation due to some of those limitations doesn't necessarily mean that it's not a rigorous scientific approach to try to determine that. I mean, we like you say, the estimates, as varied as the few might be, are still within about 6 inches of one another, and I don't think the disparity is so large that we should, you know, throw the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak.
No, but that made me suspicious, and I'm not trying to be too much of a drag on that, because I would love for the Patterson film to be real. Don't get me wrong, but sure. I mean 6 inches in terms of a tolerance of science, it's got to be ridiculous. I mean, for a creature that isn't that far away from the film, for something that had some sense of perspective, because, and I'll be more specific, if the creature is determined to be 8'3" tall or something, as like the higher end of the estimates went, that really makes you think, well, gosh, there just aren't that many 8-foot people walking around that could get into a bear suit. But if it's more like 6 foot, you know, okay, well, you know, so I guess I think it is significant to think how tall was the actual creature that's seen in the film, because it would lend credence to one argument over another.
That's true. I mean, in the sense of if it were of excessive height, then you're right, because not only would you have to find the guy that big to fill the costume, but you'd have to make a costume that was very customized to that person. Because you're not going to find a costume off the shelf that's made for an 8-foot person. There's not much of a market for that, is there? So
no.
So, but I mean, I'm not aware of any estimates, any reasonable estimates that go up into that range.
Right. I'm just saying that that would be my example of why it's important but you had, you know, the point you wanted to make. I wanted to hear it.
Well, the range that I'm aware of is, you know, if you take, for example, Grover Krantz's estimate, in which he utilized the foot, the apparent size of the foot seen in the film. And the only criticism I have of that approach is, I mean, we know the scale of the foot, presumably, by the length of the footprints. And so I think what Grover did was take that foot, look for a frame in which the foot was more or less vertical and therefore more aligned and parallel to the focal plane of the film, and therefore a more accurate projection of its length, and then tried to see how many units of that foot length could be would be necessary to account for the height of the film subject. One of the things that I don't know that he really accounted for, took care for, was the fact that the film was quite overexposed, And those areas that were, or not excessively overexposed, but there was an issue of overexposure, which would make those areas that are light or that are more reflective, like the foot in that perspective, a bit washed out, would burn out on the film a little bit, and thereby blur out the edges of the foot. Now, M.K. Davis, for example, has done some real interesting manipulations of those images, and one of the things that he's shared with me is some of his renderings of the foot. You can actually, with manipulation of the image, demonstrate some of that halo effect or that aura effect of the foot. That could account, especially given the scales that we're dealing with, which in my opinion is the case, that the Grover may have underestimated the height because he was working with an image of a foot that was sort of artificially enlarged by the overexposure, and therefore he would get fewer of those feet into the height of the subject, which would underestimate the height in his case.
Well, there's something wrong about his criteria to begin with. If he assumed some sort of hard and fast ratio between the size of the foot and the likelihood of the size of the beast that would have a foot that size. And you would have to have, I would think, 100 Bigfoot to measure in order to come up with any kind of hard and fast criteria on foot to body size ratio.
Well, he wasn't working off of any preconception of such a ratio. He simply, if you look at a still frame from the film,
right,
where the foot is in a more or less vertical posture, then and from the tracks we know that foot is between 14 and a half inches and 15 inches. Then if you just take that foot, and as he actually did in his book, you just stack foot lengths up the backside of the subject until you reach the crown of the head.
Right.
Then you have an estimate, a rough estimate in this case, of the minimum height, which he estimated a walking height of about 6.5 feet, as I recall.
Right.
I think that's a slight underestimate because I think the feet he was stacking were a little bit inflated by the overexposure. If you shrank those down, or if you allowed for, say, 15 inches instead of 14.5 inches, that would bring you closer to the other more definitive more thoroughly investigated size estimate, which came out just a little over 7 feet. So we're only dealing with, you know, as you said, about 6 inches, but I think that can be reasonably accommodated by the different approaches and the assumptions that are made in each of those approaches.
Even though, again, though, if we're talking about 7'2 being the highest, that puts you in a rare category to find somebody who can fit, who would wear a 7'2 costume without it looking fakey, and as opposed to somebody who's 6'6 and much more common. In the end, you conclude that you believe the Patterson film is accurate.
I think based on the knowledge we have at hand, I think it is most likely, most probable that it is, in fact, an accurate representation of a living animal, yes.